Relationships. As humans, we're hardwired for them. What would it be like to have a guide to relationships that are authentic? Tap into the collective wisdom of teachers, authors, and healers who have accumulated experience on this subject. I've learned that there are overlapping soul circles of people in our lives. Family of choice. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and the music that leads us into the show and that will guide us out of the show was written by my friend Barry Goldstein, and it's called Prayer of the Heart. His website is barrygoldsteinmusic.com. Now, every week I bring to the show fascinating people that have a unique take on life, on love, on relationships, and today's guest is no exception. Her name is Goddess Charmaine Armitas, and I met her just a few weeks ago when she led a workshop called Holy Body Puja, and I'll have her explain what that means in a little bit. But she's going to be talking about merging the worlds of spirituality and sexuality. So, Charmaine, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Edie. Goddess blessings.
Oh, my pleasure. So how did you become the sensuous mystic? That's your title and your website.
Yes, I am the sensuous mystic. After my initiation, well, I would say first I was ordained by the New Seminary. It's a school of interfaith theology in New York City in 1996. Before I was ordained, I was already looking into working, actually doing Reiki and sexual healing for different reasons, for personal healing and things like that. But then, you know, when you become a minister and you have your ministry, as I was doing healing energy work for people, a lot of issues around sex came up. And I was, in my personal life, starting to learn and practice Tantra with my boyfriend, who was open-minded in that way. We meditated and we practiced Tantra. I learned about the chakras and everything. And I always felt like there was more to sex. And more, what I mean by that is I knew it wasn't just about the genital-genital contact, that there was something more happening. And at the time, I only used the word more, and then I understood that really what I was talking about was spiritual. Mm-hmm. And that led me into really doing some work with, I actually went into spiritual counseling to understand more about Goddess. And in my personal life, I'm studying Tantra. And by 2000, I realized that I needed to bring sex and spirit together. Mm-hmm. And through the initiation ceremony I went through July 21st, 2000, it was after that initiation and 7 days of meditation and fasting that in my altered state of understanding, the sensuous mystic, meaning I see God, mystic, in sensuality. Mm-hmm. And that's how I created the sensuous mystic and became known as Reverend Goddess.
Mm-hmm. So were you always curious, even as a child, about sex and spirituality? Were those part of your mindset back then?
Really, what I was more curious about was God. I was as a young person, I really was very into the idea of God and people. You know, my mother was a Jehovah's Witness. At night, I felt like I could look out of my window and see God and feel God in the sky. Mm-hmm. My father said he was God. And I was like, okay, that's another take on it.
Yeah.
And sex didn't really play that much of a role except for as I became a teenager, I became a born-again Christian, and I found that there was a lot of confusion around sex in the church. And for some reason, I was aware of sin happening a lot in church around sex. So there was a lot of confusion around sex, and I always felt there was nothing wrong with sex, just at some innate knowing that that's not wrong. And so I started to ask questions about sex in that way related to God. And then I was told a few things where, no, sex is wrong, certain types of sex is wrong, and you must have a demon. Oh, no, get the demon out. And that started the spiritual abuse that I went through. And as I became older and pulled myself out of that what I call program thinking, I really found myself in a place in my 20s, now being married and having two children, where I really lost a lot of my relationship to my body. And also I really became more confused on how I'm supposed to even relate to God. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as I developed myself as a woman, I became more into understanding more about sex because there was a lot of confusion and not really, not many people knew what they were doing. I felt like I had more of an understanding of God, even if I didn't agree with the way everyone worshipped, than I did about sex. But as I came into my own healing and finding my own way back into my body, it became very clear to me, and what was more than just clear, it demonstrated itself in my life. My life changed. My life became better when I embraced my sexuality with my spirituality.
And it's funny you use the word embrace, because that's the question I was going to ask you, is how have you come to embrace yourself as a not just a woman, but a spiritual being and a sexual being? They're not mutually exclusive. How do we overcome that conditioning that most of us were taught about that?
Well, you know, it was fascinating for me because as a young person, maybe other people might have discovered this too. Somehow, I think most kids, and we didn't have internet and computers back then, but somehow I know a lot of friends that we end up in other people's houses and looking through magazines, and you end up finding that book with the Chinese, Asian and cartoon pictures of different sex positions. You're like, what is this? What is this? And somehow you end up finding out about the word Kama Sutra.
Kama Sutra, right.
So I was like, so as a young person, you know, we saw that. And then when I became older and a part of me started saying goddess, because I think that I just needed to have some kind of feminine knowing that goddess was alive or goddess existed, just because I'm a woman. I guess I just associated, I put death to God. This is just... in my most, you know, dysfunctional time in my life, I would say to my kids, I'm the goddess of this land, you know. But I think what really saved me was when I came out of my first marriage, and part of that coming out of my marriage was when I looked in the mirror, May 15, 1990, and the first thing I did was I forgave myself. I looked in the mirror and I saw how out of shape, how bad I felt in my body, and also the bruising from the abuse that I was going through. And what really saved me was I forgave myself. I asked for forgiveness from God for myself, for the things I allowed myself to take part in. I think that's the first step I took into embracing my body and embracing, associating God consciousness into my own body. And then, and the way I started to heal myself was in how I started to share myself sexually. Because I knew there was more happening, and then when I understood that that more was related to spiritual development, I really got real strict on how I was actually sharing myself sexually, ritualistically, honoring my body, and learning how to honor other people's bodies.
And that word honor is such a huge one, too, because in our culture, we're taught that, and I've said this before on the show when we've talked about sexuality, that in our culture it's about get it in, get it on, get, what is it? No, get it on, whatever. Get it on, get it up, get it in, get it off, get it out. and that's not all that sexuality is about. And that doesn't feel very honoring when I think about that. So by honoring yourself, you're honoring the other person and vice versa. So I'm really grateful for, you know, that you've come through that healing. Does that, having gone through it yourself, does that help you help others overcome sexual shame and the ways that we've allowed ourselves to treat ourselves in relationships?
Of course it does. Of course.
Yeah.
There's no, and I'm always going through it too. Just life is that way. You know, I'm always adjusting to another level of appreciation of myself, of my own body, and the way I share myself sexually, you know, and how I do that. And people, I'm thankful that people are inspired by who I am and what I do. There are people that aren't. But when I get those messages and emails from people and likes and love, and people that show up for the workshops, believe me, it is confirmation, and it helps me so much to continue to share myself the way I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that you do, and if people want to find out more about you, they can go to your website, thesensuousmystic.com. What will they find there?
They'll find my writings, you know, to just understand more about what I call goddess, about my Second Sunday services, Holy Body Naked Church services. They'll see links to different videos that I do on YouTube, Vimeo, and I'm on Periscope. They can buy my books. My first book is about me and my private practice, The Sensuous Mystic, Uniting Sex and Spirit, and my Goddess Scrolls, which are rituals that I've done over the years on the full moon. And this is, I call it the Goddess Scrolls, an erotic Bible. And it's really helping people to really tap into their own power and do rituals to, you know, make their sex, understand that their sex life is sacred.
Well, after the break, we're going to talk more about Naked Church, because for some people that's like, wait, what? What is she talking about here? So, folks, on the other side of the break, we're going to learn more about Naked Church. Catch you on the other side.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
It's All About Relationships is a gathering of friends worldwide. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein. Join us each Thursday night from 8 to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. My guests are dynamic leaders in the field of human interaction, and no topic is off the table, from sexuality to spirituality to self-love. I'm a best-selling author, speaker, therapist, interfaith minister, and optimistic who sees the world through the eyes of possibility. Visit me at opti-mystical.com.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to the next portion of It's All About Relationships. My guest is Goddess Charmaine Armitage. And before the break, we were talking about Naked Church. Can you explain what that is and how that differs from most church services that people attend? And how it might be the same?
Yeah, well, Holy Body Naked Church is really clothing optional services. But we called it Naked Church just to catch people's attention, you know.
Right.
But it's a service based on honoring the body, honoring sky clad. Sky clad means to be naked in ceremony. And it's an opportunity for people to come out. A lot of people that come out are people that are nudists and go to nudist resorts at different time, during the summer. And then there are people that want to come because they look at it as an act of power to be naked in front of people in a ceremony that is really about honoring the holy body. We call the body holy, and being able to tap into the divine within. So services, we sing, we chant, we meditate, we move around a little bit. We have what we call the whole part where people say three things they love about their body. Very inspirational. I give a message about the body or the message about something spiritual that we can apply in our life right away. I pull out tarot cards. Sometimes we have tantric scriptures that we pull out, which are related to sex and spirit. And people just pull a scripture and they read it and they say how it relates to themselves. And we sing and we om and we hug.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds pretty sacred to me. Certainly something that I would want to head up there for. And where is it held?
It's at Buddha Body Yoga in New York City. That's at 39 West 29th Street, Broadway, I think, Suite 302. And it's on my website, and you can always find out about it if you're following me.
Marvelous. That sounds great. So the goddess work that you've done, how do you teach women to claim the goddess? The aspect of the awakening goddess, the emerging goddess, and then fully embodying it and embracing it. What would be a process that you would help women go through for that?
You know, this year's really amazing for me because this is the first year I'm going to be initiating 10 women into their goddesship this April in New York City at the Riverside Church. And normally I've initiated others, but it's always been one person at a time. And there's such an outpouring of women that really want to embrace the goddess in them that they've been asking for this, so I'm doing a big ceremony. And I really think that every woman knows or needs to understand that they're goddess. But when we say goddess, I'm really talking about the creative spirit that we call God, we also call goddess. And that spirit, a part of that life energy that created all life, is also within us. So when I call myself goddess, I'm saying I am a divine woman that is using all that I do in my life in a divine way. The elements, the way I cook, the way I present myself, how I share myself in my life. And I have my trinity. I say I'm Reverend Goddess, Mother Goddess, Ghetto Goddess, but always Goddess.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means I accept all aspects of myself. So this is really what I do because, and what I teach women, because sometimes even when you say goddess or you say priestess or you say a spiritual woman, oftentimes women want to separate the sexual aspect. Well, I have to be appear pure and quiet instead of like a wild woman or free, you know, mm-hmm. and it's all of that. And so in that, when you're embracing your sexuality, you're embracing all the changes of your sexuality as a woman. And we want to celebrate that. And we want to believe in ourselves. We want to believe in our love, our nurturing abilities. We want to believe in the way that our bodies are shaped and accept that. All sizes of women, all races of women, diverse lifestyles, you know. And mm-hmm. so no one person, even men, I always teach men, you have the goddess in you. I have God in me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so and when women do that and they actually come to workshops, then we get into body blessing, body anointing, healing wounds, burning ceremonies, things like that that are very cathartic in a way that we can release negativity and trauma and really embrace the divine, blessed person that we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things that I really appreciated about the workshop that I went to, the puja, is that there were people there, all different ages, all different shapes and sizes. It was not... it was sensual, but not overtly sexual in the way that most people would think of it.
Yeah.
And it was very respectful. It was very honoring of the divine yeah. masculine and feminine in all of us. And I left
yeah.
there feeling, like going to New York, I get jangly in New York City a lot of times,
yeah.
but I felt very peaceful. I felt like I carried the energy home with me. And folks, if you want to take a stretch, and even for me, it was a little bit of a stretch, and I consider myself pretty open. Check out what Charmaine's work is about. And you might find yourself getting a little rattled, but it's a good rattle. You know, your shake up, so your wake up. So, you know, I felt really shook up in a positive way. You know, shaken,
yeah.
not stirred, I guess. I don't know. So you're recently married. I think, has it been a year for you and Steve now?
We've been married 2.5 years now.
2.5 years. Okay, for some reason, I think it was a year. But it's still,
yeah.
you're still relative newlyweds. How is
yeah.
that for him? Is there a period of adjustment? Was it something that he embraces, the lifestyle? And how do you navigate through potential challenges doing the work that you do?
Yeah. I'd say privately, we're fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I think the hardest part for my husband is having to deal with his relatives and family members and children. What's the sensuous mystic? Who's the sensuous mystic? What?
Right.
Naked what? I mean, some of them are like, you met at naked church? How could you? What are you talking about? So I would say for him, that is the hardest to watch him go through. As far as he gets me, he believes in me, and he honors me, and I honor him, and he's my biggest fan, my biggest supporter.
Mm-hmm. And that helps, doesn't it, to have a partner that's right
goodness.
There with you, even if he's not doing the work with you?
Well, yeah, he does a lot of the work with me.
And oh, he does it with you, okay.
Yeah, you'll see him at Second Sunday services. You'll see him at Naked Church. And
mm-hmm.
I have convinced him to do some things with me because I want to work with couples. And I think it's fun
mm-hmm.
to be in a couple, working with a couple. And he
right.
said yes, so we'll see
mm-hmm.
when
Excellent.
That starts. Yeah.
Excellent. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that because
Thank
I know
you.
A lot of couples that do work together in their relationship. It's kind of a lab setting for what they teach other people. So it sounds like you guys are working on all that together
yes.
as well. So I think that's,
yes.
that's pretty remarkable
that
you found someone that, you know, doing the work that you do, that says, okay, yeah, I'm in, you know, I'm
and
jumping,
he
jumping
really
on
stands
board
up for me, you know? I mean,
mm-hmm.
like it's demonstrated in his life. I mean, Steve knows his own life and what he wants in it. And, you know, he's not a follower. He's a supporter. And I really appreciate
mm-hmm.
that in him. He only lifts
Excellent.
Me up higher.
Excellent. So do you find, you were talking a little bit earlier about the masculine and the woman and the feminine and the man, that the work that you do helps people to balance the divine feminine and the divine masculine within us?
Yes. I mean, I really learned a lot about that through Carl Jung's work, the
mm-hmm.
Anima Animus, and it really was a great healing tool for me. So again, as I found myself, you know, incorporating, understanding the Animus in me, I want to teach the Anima in others as well as the Animus in women. And so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and they people get it. They understand it. I've learned a ritual process to help people to merge and marry the sacred masculine and divine feminine. Yeah, and it's really important as to be whole within so that way we don't really, you know, expect so much from our partners to heal and make us whole so much as we can be in divine relationship with them and dance on every floor. I'm not saying it's all easy. A lot of it is work and time and discipline, you know, but you practice and then you can preach. And I say that's
right.
important. Yeah.
And is there a constant adjustment for you saying, okay, I'm not practicing what I'm preaching, how do I do more of that? Where, are you feeling like you're not, I don't know if vigilant is the right word, but you're focused on, okay, am I really walking the talk here? Am I really living what I'm teaching?
At this time of being goddess for 16 years and no, I would say maybe, even when I'm on the couch for 48 hours, I'm in purpose because mm-hmm. I give myself permission for that. And so I would say maybe there's 5% where I may feel like, oh, I didn't meditate 2 days in a row. That's not like me.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, I just accept all parts of me, and I pretty much, follow through with what I want, the type of rituals I want to do every day, my disciplines. And when it changes, I address why it changes, so I'm still in alignment with who I am and who I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the only thing I could imagine that would be out of character was if I stopped doing this work. Oh, no, what happened?
Right.
Then I would say, oh, no. Mm-hmm. Get over there,
Yeah. Now, do you have a daily practice that you do that might vary from day to day that keeps you in alignment?
Oh, first thing I do in the morning after I brush my teeth and wash my face is I go down to my altar in the kitchen and I light my candle and I have a libation prayer that I say for my life and my life with my husband. And that candle and the altar in my kitchen is always lit throughout the entire day. It's a votive candle that lasts about 4 hours. When it goes out, as long as I'm in the house, it's lit again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been a practice that I keep, and it's very important to me. And then I have my 10-minute crystal merging meditation that I do, and then I have my 30, 40-minute workout that I do. And then this is the only thing that might change. I incorporate a 30-minute yoga routine once a week. Sometimes it's twice a month. That's the only thing that changes.
Okay. Yeah.
And then there are other times throughout the month that then I have my full moon ritual that I do, and then I have a sex magic ritual I do with my husband. And then we have on the 21st of each month, we always renew our vows, and we do a merging ceremony. So the morning routine is always the same, and then depending on the other days, I may add something else to it.
Mm-hmm. So can you explain, I mean, I know what sex magic is, but can you explain to the listeners what that is and how powerful that is for you guys and for anybody that does it?
Yeah. Sex magic you can do in a coupleship or you can do alone. And it's really when you connect in your sex center, which I call the sacred metal, with your heart through self-touch. And then, or in unison with your partner. And when you're with a partner, what we do in the beginning is we meditate together, and then we set an intention for what we want our sexual energy to help us manifest. Because, like I said, there's more to sex. So at this time, we would set whatever that intention is. So for us to become wiser and be in abundance and prosperity in our relationship and to bless all. So then we go into meditation and we do a communion, a goddess communion with fruit and wine. We do massage, a light massage with each other. And then we do a fivefold kiss where we bless parts of our body, feet, knees, sex center, heart, and lips. And then we go into eye gazing, mouth breathing, kissing, sex, orgasm. And then when the orgasmic bubble comes, I'm always the one that really holds the image that we've created with the intention. And then for up to 11 minutes, you can hold that intention. One thing I also add into sex magic is a chant that I always say when we're in union. And when I mean union, I mean lingam yoni union, which is mm-hmm. lingam yoni is a Sanskrit word for vagina and penis. So when mm-hmm. we bond together in that way, I say a chant that the belief is when you say this chant, you're sharing your energy not just with this reality, but the next and beyond into other dimensions. And sex magic is really powerful alone. It's very powerful when you're with another person. So the more the merrier, the intensification of the energy and consciousness is believed to put you in alignment on Earth with what you want to manifest and be able to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Does sound incredibly powerful, and I have experienced that myself. So it is pretty
pretty
wondrous. So
I'm
glad that you're teaching other people how to do that and setting the intention and using sexual energy as a way of broadcasting your intentions and putting it out there in a peaceful, loving way. So I'm just delighted that you're out there teaching people how to live this rich, full, juicy way. So if there was one thing, one question that we ask, we're asking people this month who are our guests is, what does your vivid life look like?
my vivid life looks like. Oh, yeah. Being Reverend Goddess, the sensuous mystic. Mm-hmm. People are like, whoa, mm-hmm. how do you do mm-hmm. that? And I do that by having naked church services. I do that by having goddess interfaith services. I do that by really sharing my body and being honest and transparent with everyone. That's a vivid life if I've ever seen one. So that's
oh, yeah,
my life.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Charmaine, for joining us. And again, folks, go to her website, thesensuousmystic.com, and you'll see all kinds of amazing things there. And I look forward to seeing you sometime in the next couple months.
Thank you.
I may just make it up to the next Naked Church service. So uh-huh. thank you. So, folks, next week my guest is Jeff Faldolin, who I've not met yet, but he's going to be talking about what does it mean to be a man. Now, this would be an interesting perspective because he can only speak for what it means for him to be a man, but I'll be interested in hearing his take on what he's learned about teaching other men or learning from other men about what it means to be a man. So until next week, I thank you, I bless you, I love you, namaste.
Thank you for joining us on It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, asking you the all-important question, what does your vivid life look like? Hoping that it includes fulfilling and thriving relationships in all areas. Until next time, sending you abundant love from here.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.